Sorry for being a few minutes late. We just had a vote on the floor. But let me start out this week's radio teleconference with a quick review of what is happening on the floor of the Senate. We are currently working on the fiscal year 2010 agriculture appropriations bill, and the expectation is that we will finish amendments on it by late this afternoon, and the hope is that we will conclude action on the House Ag bill by late afternoon and begin the debate on the Sonia Sotomayor nomination to the Supreme Court. We also expect that before the week ends, after the Sotomayor vote, we will move to either or both of the Cash for Clunkers proposal and the Travel Promotion Act, which has been brought back to the floor again. This is a provision that would establish a coordinated international travel promotion campaign through a public-private partnership. And the Cash for Clunkers program, as you may recall, is a program that was originally approved for $1 billion on November 1st, whichever came first. But the program was so popular that it is quickly depleting the $1 billion level. And this vote that we expect may occur this week will add an additional $2 billion that would be offset from the stimulus package so that there would not be a net increase in spending, but there would be a reallocation of stimulus package dollars for the Cash for Clunkers program. And if anybody would like, I can get into more detail on that a little later. We are also continuing to work very hard on health care negotiations, although we still have the major battle shaping up over whether to move to a nationalized health care system with a federal government running an insurance company. And major proposals relating to increased taxes for the potential cost of the health care plan that would be another $1 to $3 trillion to the U.S. Treasury. And although a number of other issues are also moving forward, the last one I'll mention before we throw it open for questions will be the cap and trade legislation. We continue to focus in terms of hearings on the cap-and-trade legislation that passed the House of Representatives to deal with global warming issues. We do not have any proposed markup or specific deadline for committee action on the bill, although I expect that sometime this fall there will be an effort to aggressively move toward floor action on the bill. I have very strong concerns about the cap-and-trade legislation that is before us for a number of reasons. First of all, it will drive up the cost of energy so high that virtually everything that Americans consume will be much more expensive, not the least of which will be any carbon-based forms of energy, such as gasoline, heating fuel, natural gas, coal-generated electricity, and the like. And because of that, we would expect electricity bills and all other forms of energy bills to go up dramatically, and the cost of any products made from those to also go up. And this would happen without any coordination with other countries, which results in very little, if any, improvement with regard to the actual emissions of CO2 globally, but very major damage to U.S. producers into the U.S. economy. So I'm very concerned about where this legislation is headed at this point. With that, I'll stop. And the first on my list today is George Prentice. George?
Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to ask you about the Amtrak feasibility study for returning the Pioneer Route to Idaho. It's our understanding there's a public hearing or a meeting next Monday. Can you update us on this?
I don't have the details on the meeting, although I can probably get back to you with those details because we have been working very hard to get the head of Amtrak to commit to not only holding the public meetings but the studies that are necessary to facilitate the statutory requirement that the evaluation that Amtrak evaluate the reimplementation or reopening of the Pioneer line. And so I apologize, George, that I can't give you more details than that. I don't have them on the top of my head right now. I did know, though, that they are moving forward, and they are having, as a part of that process and that evaluation, a public meeting.
And can you give us some detail on how you're inclined to vote for Cash for Clunkers?
Well, you know, I voted on the Cash for Clunkers legislation. I voted against the original proposal for the same reason that I voted against the stimulus package and a number of the other bailouts that have occurred. namely that we cannot continue to try to spend ourselves into prosperity, and this was driving up the deficit just one more time with a program that had actually not even been evaluated in committee and was just airdropped into one of the bills without being considered in either the House or the Senate earlier. And so I voted against it. Right now I'm reevaluating that because the experience with the Cash for Clunkers program has shown that it is very effective at reducing the high buildup of auto inventory that we've had for our dealers around the country, and that that is actually having a positive impact on the economy and helping to stabilize a number of the parts of the auto industry, which has its ripple effects through other parts of the economy. And I would still oppose it if the proposal were not to utilize already authorized dollars in the stimulus package. Again, as you know, I voted against the stimulus package, but I've also voted wherever I've had an opportunity to improve the way the stimulus dollars are used. Those dollars are going to be spent, unfortunately. And since we have now seen a program that may actually be working a little bit better than a lot of the other ideas in the stimulus package, I'm considering supporting this one to reallocate stimulus package dollars to a better program. In the end, I would much prefer to vote to reallocate the stimulus dollars to retiring our national debt, but that's simply not happening, and we're working to try to get that to happen. In the meantime, I am favorably evaluating whether to support this effort to reallocate some of the stimulus package dollars toward that program.
So is that a yes or a maybe?
It's a maybe. And because I still have reluctance based on the fact that it is a continuation of the effort to try to spend our way through these issues rather than let the economy adjust. But like I say, the reason I'm even considering it is that that battle, in one sense, has already been fought and lost with regard to the stimulus package, and this vote is really not a vote for new federal spending, but a vote to reallocate the way the stimulus package is being used. And in that context, it gives me a stronger reason to support it. And so although I'm not saying yes yet, I am saying that I'm inclined to vote yes, but it's not a definite position yet.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Leslie Shoemate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess we'll continue with the clunkers.
Yes.
Is there language in that bill that dictates what happens to these clunkers after the dealers get them?
Well, that's one of the things I'm investigating right now because, like I say, when we first voted on it, it was just dropped into the bill and nobody really knew what it said. My understanding is, and I could be wrong, and so I'll just let you know up front, I'm giving you an understanding rather than a confirmed answer. My understanding is that the clunkers could be utilized for parts except that their engines would not be able to be resold. And the reason I understand that to be the case is that the whole purpose behind the Cash for Clunkers program is to remove from the roads high gas consumption vehicles and replace them with more efficient vehicles. And so although the parts would be made available, the engines themselves, apparently, unless those parts were not able to be used on inefficient engines, would not be.
And what enforcement arm double-checked on that?
I don't have the answer to that. That's a very good question.
Post office closures. Do you have a list yet of the potential closures in Idaho?
I have not seen a final list. I've seen different suggestions along the way, but I actually am not in a position to give you an answer on that right now. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I looked it up on the Internet this morning, and the website they gave you doesn't come up. If I don't know if that's an omen.
Or a strategy, right?
Right. Okay, thanks.
You bet. Sorry I couldn't answer that, Leslie.
That's fine.
Dave Plourd.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
I guess along with the Cash for Clunkers deal, it's a program that is apparently having some success. Are there any concessions, you know, well, let me rephrase that. Depending on who you read, the economic crash has kind of leveled off a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And begun to show some improvement. Is there any concession at all that some of these programs might actually work?
Well, no. You mean
my
short answer is no. The same debate that was held when we began the fight over the stimulus package is still underway for a couple of reasons. First of all, although some say that the economy has bottomed out, and some very prominent economic leaders in our country indicate that the economy has bottomed out and that we should be in a period now of at least not dropping further and maybe even growing back a little bit, there are a number of other economists who say that we are going to have a double bottom and that we're just at a temporary leveling off, that we will see further declines. And so there's still not a consensus that we actually have seen the economy begin the last upward healing process. With regard to the question, though, of what's going on in the impact of the stimulus bill, there's also still a significant amount of conflict relating to the fact that the stimulus package, the $800 billion we debated over, has largely not been spent out yet. And so whatever impact is causing the economy to stabilize, if it is stabilizing, is almost certainly not as a result of the stimulus package.
Yeah, now my real question. If Yucca Mountain is allowed to close, what happens to the waste at I&M?
With regard to Yucca Mountain?
Right. I guess just the overall mix of the cleanup agreement and everything else.
Well, with regard to the entire battle with regard to Yucca Mountain and then simply the management of the spent nuclear fuel at the INL, with the president's position that Yucca Mountain will be shut down, we are facing a circumstance in which there is no clear path forward with regard to the management of spent nuclear fuel, but the state of Idaho has an enforceable agreement that has been not only litigated and has become a court order, but has also been voted on by Congress and is a requirement of Congress. And so we're in a kind of one of those proverbial spots between where the federal government has to take it and manage it, and the president has just announced that he's going to stop the implementation and progress on the one plan to go forward. The best answer I have for you at this point is the president has said that he's going to appoint a blue ribbon panel to evaluate other options than Yucca Mountain, and that he expects that panel to provide him and the country with a path forward, a path that we do not yet have any clarity on.
So those billions of dollars are just gone.
Yeah, if the president succeeds in stopping Yucca Mountain.
Thank you.
All right. Last, Rory? Is Rory on today? Okay, I want to thank everybody. I apologize. I'm going to have to rush off again or take a few more questions, but thank you for being on this week, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Bye.